Turuntuset tulee Joonel.
And today we decided to focus on the topic that is about strategic partnership. So I really would like to use the chance to have a person who has been in that high position in sales to use all his knowledge to share with you. And to start with, the challenge really for Estonian companies is that most of the companies are SMEs and they don't have a clue how a bigger corporation works. They don't have a clue about the hierarchies, they don't have a clue about the teams, commissions, and all these kind of things that really is different compared to the small and medium-sized companies. And that's why they face a significant challenge, because they don't understand how the decisions are made and how to really grow within the company, how to think about and what actions to do in order to become a more strategic partner, not just a transactional partner as it usually is for our companies. So that's why I think the topic is very important, and I'm really happy that we can cover it today. So if we start really from the very beginning, how do you in general define the strategic partnership? What does it mean for you?
I think strategic partnership can be many different things for many people. I think it's hard to set a certain explanation behind it, what it really is. And today we see a lot of different strategic partnership. You see horizontal ones, as you normally call it, where businesses in the same areas, even competitors, collaborate in order to improve their market position. Example can be, for example, airline industry, where different flight companies find an alliance. It can also be vertical, which I think applies to a lot of Estonian companies, where one of the suppliers become a strategic partner. And an example of that can be, for example, boat companies. And obviously, the company who supplies an engine for them becomes very strategic.
Absolutely.
And then you also see businesses where they're looking for a specific knowledge, where people kind of interact naturally with each other. I think Skype and Microsoft is a good example where they started to collaborate in the area of efficiency and communication. And as you know, later Microsoft bought Skype and fully integrated. And then the last bit I would like to mention is maybe the joint venture kind of partnership, where two businesses form a new company. So I think there are different ones, but here and for the Estonian market, I look forward to more focus on the vertical ones, you have a lot of smaller companies here, and how you can do in order to become more strategic.
Okay, for me, it also means often that when we look at the key from the key account point of view, it's kind of how close you are with the customer. Are you taken as a partner when they do the long term plans, or are you just a kind of a friendly face or an outstander who doesn't really interfere or have something to say or cannot interfere, but what is most important to really, if you take the focus that we have to go closer to the client. What is really the most important? How to get closer? If you look at the kind of the big corporations,
I think if one thing stands out more than anything else is about to educate the customer. And when you think about it, it's like, how can a small enterprise educate?
Yeah, this is the first question that comes to my mind.
How can they actually educate the bigger customer about something that really matters to them? And because decision makers today at big corporations, they are interested in getting new information. Teach me something I don't know. And then back again to the core question, like, how can a small company then educate the big corporation? I have a fun example from a client, and it's a cleaning firm that wanted to sell their cleaning services into a big hotel chain.
Okay.
And the hotel chain was obviously looking at how can we get the rooms cleaned and the facilities clean as cheap as possible. And then we thought about how can we educate the hotel chain, like how do customers care about the cleaning? they did their own survey. They were reaching out for surveys. So during the process, they started to educate the hotel chain what it meant for with good cleaning for the clients, how much this increased customer satisfaction, etc., which was of huge impact for the hotel. So it ended up in then that even if they were not the cheapest one, this kind of education to constantly supply knowledge to your customers.
It's a very good example, really.
Was invaluable. And I think many, when you have a small startup company in general, you're very focused on your own features, for example, and why your product is so good. And that's great. But I think many companies will benefit a lot if they start to focus at how can we teach our customers something that later leads to our solution.
But I do understand the problem, because if you are as small as me, you really might be kind of, how can I go to the Microsoft and teach them something? Okay, probably about the cleaning I could do, but if there is kind of anything else, if it's maybe more IT-specific or technical, so I feel the kind of the tension or the problems that people might have, that how can I go to the small companies to teach?
Yeah, I think a good question for yourself is to start with, what kind of problem do my product or services solve?
Okay.
Why is this important for the company I'm trying to sell my products and services for? And in the sales cycle, I also think it's important to see to whom in the big company does this matter. And this is really very tricky, because it's in big corporations, it's so many people, and it might be very few who really, really feel that solving this problem is of huge importance. So I think it's important to try to find the right person before you start selling your ID.
So if you take the cleaning example, then it means that you probably, just within the corporation, you have probably someone who is really responsible for the cleaning and for the cleaning staff and for the cleaning whatever chemicals, what they use or everything for ecological part and for convenience part, and how to do it faster and more efficient. So there are probably a lot of kind of problems or issues around it. And I do understand that this person might be very happy if the whole company understands that the cleaning is important. Because I do think that in the boardroom, if they ever are there, they might even raise a hand and tell that, okay, let's talk about cleaning a bit. And everyone says, no, we talk about the brand and the marketing and the sales and other things.
I think this example illustrates as well that they also manage to get more contact points within the hotel chain, because when it comes up to that this is a customer satisfaction problem, they get a total new audience who is interested in discussing customer satisfaction, because customer satisfaction at hotels are very related to the demand you're seeing and what prices you can charge. So making and educating about the problem they can solve, they actually got a few new stakeholders and kind of became more strategic.
Very good. Are there any other ways how to expand the kind of the contact points within the kind of target company?
I mean, if you have a few contact points, I mean, independently on what you're selling into the company, it's many people normally who kind of touches the purchase. I mean, even if it's one person buying it, it might be another one using it. It's the third one going through legal requirements. It's the fourth one processing it manually, etc. And I think if you got one or two contact points, I think it's important to constantly ask who else is in company is involved in our purchase, who else is affected. And it doesn't need to be user-wise. It can also be administration-wise, or being a part of another production line, and be brave and ask questions. How do my product affect you? How can we do it better? How do we help you reach your goals, etc.? And one other thing that a lot of smaller companies do, I think, is they always try to sell something when they contact the customer. How about switching the gears a bit and try to educate them? How about sending out the information letters of what's happening in their field to educate?
If you say that, it's really important to not try to sell from every single contact, but do something else. Because what I feel here when I look at the Estonian companies is that when we talk about the key account management, and then we talk that, okay, you need to broaden your contact work, and you need to have more contacts, and you need to have more personal contacts with different people in the company. And then we have a small tool when we try to audit where you are and how to do. And then the question that I always get is that, why do I need to call them kind of every single day or every single week? Now I understand. They feel that they have to sell with every call, and that's why they're afraid of being too pushy. If they would understand that they need to build a relationship or to educate or to give some thoughts or inspiration, it might be much easier for them to pick up the phone and really to kind of do all the things that are not connected to the sales.
Yeah. Take one very successful company, for example, which is a management consultancy firm, McKinsey. They're releasing one report every day about information about one topic in specific in order to show that they educate, they are the experts. And I think that's a very interesting way of selling. They're saying they're the expert, but they're providing insights to the market, free information for decision makers, for everyone who has a specialty. And they release this information on a daily basis. There is a new article, and I think that's very interesting. Obviously, small businesses can't release an article on a daily basis.
Probably not.
but what about to send an information letter once in a quarter with what's going on, what's new in the industry, what's our thoughts for the next year? I think that would provide that they will get a much better space in the and a much better perception from their customers in general. And back to what you said as well with one or two contacts. I mean, it's obviously very risky. Do you only have one or two contacts? I mean, the person you're talking might be laid off, they might switch work, whatever can happen. And I think in order also to have more contacts there, I think it also you get a better understanding for the customer's business, how they're operating, and back again to how your product works in their whole chain. And one question I ask sometimes when I meet startup businesses, I say, like, do you know your customer's customer? Why do they buy goods or services from your customer? And many people haven't thought that they need to understand the customer's business in order to give the best service.
Absolutely.
And I think that's an interesting perspective.
Very good. Yes, it brings to my mind also the kind of the other very kind of important and simple rule that by that way you can really listen more than talk. Usually we imagine that the salespersons, they always talk and never listen. They always have to have a better proposal than yesterday, but without understanding, it doesn't actually matter what you're speaking.
I totally agree. And the sales trends that were in many companies a few years back was, I think both is important, both to ask the questions and to talk about and educate the customer. And that comes back to, I think, the second thing, big thing, except for educate, I want to send across this one, is to shape your message. To whom are you talking to? What's personally important to this person? It can be, you can shape it to industry, you can shape it to company, you can shape it to position, and you can also shape it to an individual. So depending on how close you are to the contact you're having.
Can you bring a good example about it? How to shape the message for different parts?
I have a story actually where we went very wrong once. We were dealing with a big Swedish customer.
Okay.
and we had done some good pre-work. The sales rep I was with, and he was presenting at the customer, and we realized, and he had put all the dots together, and in the end he kind of proved that it was affecting the share price. But the thing was, the people who were in the audience, they were not interested in the share price.
Oh,
they were more interested, more or less, what it was for lunch half an hour later. So even though this might have been very strategic for the company, those individuals who were sitting there, this was not any of their problem, the share price. It was a huge corporation. We were dealing high up at the, on the, with the IT department. But on their minds was not the share price. And we still connected all the dots and showed them that this is actually affecting your share price. But this was not the problem. This was not why they couldn't sleep at night. There were other problems. And we didn't understand those. So we kind of went very wrong before we...
What would you do today in the same situation? To talk about the lunch at the beginning or to offer free coffee?
Obviously, my mistake was like I should have reviewed very much more the sales rep's approach from a personal side. But I think in general, if you get close to people and you can educate them and you really show that you want to help them, you want to understand them, you want to understand the problem and what impact it has. If you manage to get down that line, I think you are way better off when explaining your products and services. I have an example as well from we discussed. I worked a bit with Volvo, the Swedish car manufacturer, and a person coming in. If we take a simple example, a person coming in buying a new car. And the salesperson is starting to sell the car, features, horsepowers maybe. And it's so many things you can sell about this car. It's so many features. Instead of asking them maybe, tell me about your transportation needs. Tell me what's important for you when you're buying a car. Tell me last time you bought a car, what made your decision go right or left? And I think when you have this kind of information, it's so much easier to target your message and to get the deal done.
That's why I hate to buy a car. Yeah. I never understand what they talk about. I never understand the engines or the powers.
Because this is not important to you, right?
No.
You have totally different views or
When I come back now to the share price story, actually the share price would have been a good message to the top management, probably.
And I think you say a good word now. You say probably, because sometimes we also assume so much that this and this is important. Now, I mean, share price for as you said, for the board or something, is extremely important to 95% of the time. Or
okay. Yeah. So there is a chance 5% that it's not important, that they don't care.
I have a very small chance setting a percentage. But I think we assume a lot what's important. And... I think that's an approach, but sometimes we forget actually to ask, to understand how do the person we are talking to, how can my product help them maybe reach their goals? How can this make their department reach their goals? Absolutely. Instead of assuming why it's important.
Okay, but in general, if you go to the top management and ask, is share price important for you? I don't believe they say no.
Of course not. I think we get
it. They just have to say yes, otherwise they wouldn't be there.
I totally agree. Obviously, for many top manager share prices of absolute the number one top priority. But what I want to send across is not whether it's important. It's more like we assume very much what's important to the person we are talking to. And after we have maybe educated them a bit, maybe we can ask. Maybe we can ask what's their problem or... Why they can't sleep at night, or so. I think we sometimes tend to forget this.
Absolutely, because it comes to my kind of next question, that if I try to probe the top management part more, do you have any suggestions how to get to the top management? Because if you go like, I can imagine, yes, Microsoft is a big, huge corporation, but still. Looking from the corporation kind of hierarchy, it seems that it's something IT team needs to deal with. And it might be a bit challenging or might be kind of rather difficult to bring it to the board level. Or am I right or am I wrong?
I think you're very right. And I think you should ask yourself first, do I need to get to the top management?
Okay.
Right away.
That's
obviously,
true.
Obviously, what depending on your product or services, you're providing to the market, but I think you should ask yourself, do I really need the top management? And also, It's been a new trend in sales. Like a lot of sales before was very much going that the seller tried to sell directly to the top management, and they got information from someone lower down the organization. So the information flow, you got information from the, I say the worker, or
yeah, okay,
and then you try to sell to the management. The kind of new trend going on in sales now is that you provide knowledge and information to the worker, who then sells it to the management.
Okay.
Because the bond between the worker and the top management is much stronger than the bond you will ever have. So that has kind of shifted for many companies, that they provide a lot of information, knowledge, business insights, etc., to the worker, and they more sell to the top management. Because one big research that was recently done as well is that one of the top importance for the management when they make a decision is that they have their organization behind. And that has kind of changed the latest sales a bit. And I think it's very, very interesting that people are looking from more and more from, or top management, from a joint decision from the companies. And that really supports this theory, I think, to sell or to provide knowledge to the worker, who then
will sell the idea to the
to the management. And a lot of companies try to go top management because that's the way the decision is made, and they gain information. That's kind of a very interesting change.
Okay.
That has been happening now in sales.
So it doesn't mean, if I look kind of the picture in my mind, it doesn't mean that I need always to try to build the contacts from top to up, but it's more important to have that kind of the wide base so that everyone in different departments is supporting me and saying that it's a good partner. So if our boss wants us to be satisfied with him as a boss, so then he will rely on us, yes?
I think that's good, and I think that also goes back to your previous, our previous dialogue around the many context points. That also supports the same theory of having a wider network supporting the R&D from the customer.
But let's say, if there are kind of tougher decisions, I need to outsource a part from my company, and I need to decide, can I find a partner or not, that directly involves my employees. I probably need to lay off some staff. That is emotionally very difficult, and it's probably nothing the top management still kind of talks before the structural changes happen to every single person. In that case, let's say that I have a special software or whatever thing I would like the top management to use to do the processes smoother or whatever things. How in that case to get to the top management when I cannot rely on that someone from the floor is going all the way up and trying to sell my idea?
I think that's there will always be difficult cases, and I think the one you're mentioning now is definitely one of them. I think to start with is obviously to see why are they making this decision in general. And this might be okay, that the top management are maybe looking for cost cuts, etc., in order to smoothen up processes, etc. And when it obviously involves a lot of your employee, it becomes extremely sensitive. This decision, I would say, is very much made, obviously, from the top management. And back again to your software, as you said in your example, is maybe how can you teach the management again, if we go back there, something about outsourcing which applies
okay
to your software? Is it something you can teach them in this process? Something you can bring to the table in order for them to make a better decision and reach maybe even their personal goals of cost cutting or finding a bigger profit? So in this case, I would definitely go to the top management, but I would very much go back to the educate part again.
Okay, but is it enough if I just knock to the door or call the secretary and ask to book a time, or wouldn't you suggest that?
I think a lot of what we did that was working for a private equity company in Sweden,
okay,
and we we were discussing how to improve the sales, and a lot of sales were made for calling out, etc. And this is extremely tough to call out today. A lot of people don't even listen. Someone calling you, independent of what you say, you get a no, and that's tough. And so if you're doing kind of broader sales, I would very much recommend you to send an email before that you will be calling. And we realized that this actually improved the 25% success rate in getting a meeting. And what's important in this email then is to be very short. Why you think this is important to the person you're emailing. Maybe educate them again about something about the topic and tell them when you will call. That's all. And obviously keep it. So when you call them, you get a way smoother entrance that we sent you an email. Ah, right. And even if they can't make it that time, they sometimes even propose, ah, this is of interest of me, and I can't get back to you at a certain time. However, I suggest another time. It's still very, very tough, I would say. But this sending an email before makes it definitely way easier. So.
But with the emails, how do you guarantee that they don't go to a spam folder?
Oh, this is tough. I wish I was better technically. That they don't. Even
though
I've been working a long time in IT, but you don't get it. But to all the kind of companies who send out emails, who calls out, I would strongly recommend to send this email before, to tell them why you're calling them, when you will be calling, and why it might matter to them.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Very good. It's a very good, example. If you go now, let's say that we have now the top management, someone responding. If they are not responding, what are the next things to do? No response to the email. No one is answering. They still perceive you as a cold caller.
Maybe it's time for you then to go back to you and think about what problem do I really solve for them, and does this matter? Does this problem matter to the person I'm trying to target? Secondly, I would think, is there anything I can do to grow this problem bigger?
Okay.
Is it anything I can do to make this a priority? Because top management have a lot of issues, and they normally have a tough time deciding what issues to take now. And it needs to, the problem you are solving needs to get higher up the list. And then it's back again, like how can I do to make the problem
and
bigger?
And how can you?
I think it's two things. I think what we said is to inform that how this has affected other companies.
Okay.
Hopefully you have some client base. And what kind of benefit it has made for them to solve the problem. If you get lucky enough, which you hope that your the contact is so good that you get to meet the decision maker, I think that goes back again to the sales technology is called spin there, is to talk about the person's situation, S, then talking about the problem they're having around it, P, the impact this problem gives, I, and then also ask question to them that how would it be for you if this problem was solved? And then they kind of give the answers themselves and sell to themselves a bit. That's normally very, very efficient.
Okay, very good. And now when we go on, let's say that it was really kind of important problem and they really realize that, yes, we need to do something, and might be that you are the best partner, might be there is something else, or there is someone else. How to proceed after the first meeting?
I think if you get a meeting with the top management and maybe you need to do some research how it affects the company, I think it's important with a first meeting with the top management to ask that I'm going to do maybe some research in your company to make sure you can see that the top value. And maybe ask a straight question then. I've done that many times to ask, like, when we come back, when we've done our research, when we've interviewed people in your organization, what do you want to see in order to sign this off? Because if you know what the decision maker really is looking for, it maybe becomes easier for you to tailor your message next time instead of assuming again. Like, what do you need to see? Do you need to see a return on investment? calculation? Do you need approval from the technical department? Do you need the lawyers to sign this off? And instead of selling to the person, ask him, what needs to be in place for you? What do you need to see in order for you to feel comfortable to move on? Then you can also ask, last time you made a similar purchase, what people were involved? Okay. What information needed to be in place for you last time when you signed off something similar? I think that's... And then also lastly, I would like to mention that if you know you're having a competition, they might be considering another supplier. Hopefully you're having some benefits that the other supplier doesn't have and you know about them. Maybe you can already at this meeting make them very important. The features you can do, but not the competition. Make the problem these features can solve of top importance.
Okay.
So when it comes down to decision making, you have already grown the problem you can solve, but not your supplier. And I think that's very strong.
I had a question about the research, actually. There are several times you talk that the first step should be do some research. I do know that this is probably one of the things that our companies are not aware of using as a tool and using it for kind of sales purchases, sales purposes. What types of researches could you do, like the first initial step in order to get acquainted with the company and to know more? Yeah, you mentioned about the interviews. What else is kind of okay and acceptable?
I have a good example from, I was working with another consultancy firm who wanted to grow their business, and they were working with personal development.
Okay.
People for personal leadership training, personal development, coaching, etc. And we were discussing how we could improve their sales and how they could educate their customer. And because they were in the same position as you said, I mentioned now that like, how can we? Can we use research? And we thought like, okay, first of all, it's internet. There's a lot of stuff there.
So okay.
That's number one. But then we also said like, what about the hospitals, for example, in this? Do they have any statistics on how many people are on sick leave? Do they have information about some kind of psychology statistics that we can use? So I started to check those out, and the output was really, really, really great. Another example, which can we take a break?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will start with another example, which might be better when I came up with a better one.
Okay, then we take a better one because yeah. I would have loved to ask a bit more about that. How did you conclude it? You found the research, the numbers. What did you do with the numbers?
Yeah. Okay. Now I think another example was in the health science space where one company was doing health checks.
Okay.
On people who switch jobs or every second year that they are. And how can you do in order to increase your revenue from each visitor coming there? And how can you educate your customers in this field? Let's say, for example, a construction firm needs to do these checkups for their employees. Maybe it's perfect then to check out with hospitals, etc., like how many injuries are there in the construction sector? How many people have back pains? How many people fall in general? And kind of tailor and shape different packages to different industries in order to provide them with knowledge, sell them maybe a building package, a construction package, depending on what industry they are in. Because then they are both tailoring to the specific industry and they are providing knowledge about how it works. And that would be my way forward. And back again, as the example we talked about.
The consultancy.
The consultancy company with the mentoring, the coaching, etc. Can they provide them some statistics that if you do coaching, for example, you get a 10 or 15% higher productivity, you get happier employees, how does this connect to overall performance, and how does this later on connect to results? Because if they are managing to do this kind of, draw this kind of line, they will become way more strategic, and they will move higher up the hierarchy of the company in the natural way.